Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Donald Trump, the Republican front runner, has made a name for himself in the last month by trafficking in prejudice and paranoia. His latest insult is his call to stop all Muslims from entering the United States. This is both a shameless and a dangerous idea. At a time when America should be doing everything we can to lead the fight, defeat ISIS and other radical jihadists, Donald Trump is playing right into their hands.
Well, it comes from a very intelligent source, and that's Hillary Clinton, as you well know, not known for demagoguery, thievery, and cowardice, nor stabbing America in the back. So what would you expect from her? Today we're going to talk about immigration and inbreeding. That's right. You've all heard about immigration ad nauseum. I get it. I've been covering it since 1994, and when I started in radio in 1994, my first show was about immigrants and epidemics. Many people called me the same names that they're calling Donald Trump today, including those in talk radio who have since embraced themselves as anti-immigration specialists. But that's irrelevant. What's relevant is we're talking about immigration. How many we need? Do we need any? What kind do we need? Should we have some kind of litmus test for immigrants? These are important questions. Now, I, in my book, Government Zero, called for no immigration for 7 years, period. A blanket ban, all immigrants, 7 years, I don't care where they're from, we don't need immigrants. The country is sinking. We have a very high unemployment rate. We do not need any more immigrants in the workforce. What we need to do is train the unemployed to work in the workforce. That's number one. And number two, and it's a very delicate subject, and I'm warming up to it very slowly, because it's something new to talk radio. We're going to talk about Muslim inbreeding, especially in the third world. It's a very important topic. We're also going to talk about Islamic terrorism and why it doesn't exist in Japan. Now, the reason Islamic terrorism doesn't exist in Japan is very simple. Do you know why? Why is it one of the most developed nations on earth has almost no terrorism? It's a democratic society. Is Japan a racist society, Hillary? Is Japan a racist society, Hillary? They're not affected by ISIS. There was not a single terrorist attack perpetrated by Muslims in Japan. There was not a single minor riot, disturbance, or protest about cartoons about the Prophet Muhammad in Japan. How did that happen? How come Japan has no terrorism? Think about it. They have one of the most advanced societies on earth. They have one of the most advanced technological societies on earth. And it seems they don't have too many mosques. They don't have any mosques. They don't have any too many Islamic schools. They haven't banned pork in public places. They haven't banned churches in Japan. They haven't introduced separate hours for boys and girls in swimming pools in Japan. In Japan, Japanese male doctors are actually allowed to touch their female patients. How is that possible? Did you know that in Japan, Muslim women do not get immense social aid each time they bear a child? Did you know that there are no Sharia courts in Japan? Did you know the Quran is not considered a holy book in Japan? So the reason Japan has no problems with terror is that Japan is fundamentally closed to Muslims. Now, officially, Japan is not closed to Muslims. However, the number of immigration permits, Hillary, given to the applicants from Islamic countries is near zero. If you want to get a working visa and you're a Muslim, even if you are a doctor or an engineer or a manager sent by foreign companies that are working in Japan, well, maybe you'll get a permit, but it's very hard. There are very few Muslims in Japan. Very, very few. One of the leaders of the Muslim community in Japan, Nur ad-Din Mori, was asked, what percentage of Japan's total population are Muslims? He said, well, the answer at the moment is 1 out of 100,000. The person who did this article, YK Cherson for Prison Planet, said that Japan's population is 130 million people. So if these Muslim leaders are correct, he writes, then they must be around 1,300 Muslims. 1,300 Muslims. But even those Muslims who obtained immigration permits and lived for many years in Japan have a very, very low chance of becoming Japanese citizens. Did you know that Japan officially forbids exhorting people to adopt the religion of Islam? Did you know that any Muslim who actively encourages conversion to Islam is seen as proselytizing to a foreign and undesirable culture? Did you know that any promoter, active promoter of Islam faces deportation, even a jail sentence in Japan? Did you know that, unlike in New York City, Bill de Blasio, the Arabic language is very rarely taught in academic institutes in Japan? I guess the Japanese are now going to be on the no-fly list. I guess all Japanese will now be banned from entering England. Did you know that importing the Quran in Arabic is practically impossible? And the only Quran permitted is the adapted version in Japanese, where there is no calling for killing and head cutting. Exactly what I told you needs to be done in this country. How do you bring in a book that says kill the infidel? How do you let it, how does a nation permit that? A book that teaches sub-morons to kill the infidel, and you wonder why some of the sub-morons who have interbred kill the infidel and cut off heads and blow up children's centers. Where are they getting this insanity from? In Japan, only two mosques in Japan. Tokyo, Jama Masjid, and Kobe Mosque. The total number of Muslim praying sites in Japan, 30 single-story mosques. 100 apartment rooms set aside for prayers. Japanese society expects Muslims to pray at home. No laying down in the street, taking over public squares. Take over the public squares to pray to Allah. Can't happen in Japan. If they try it in Japan, they're highly fined. They can deport them. Take a look at what's going on in London. They just had a couple of 100,000 fanatical laborites like Hillary Clinton and Muslims wanting Donald Trump banned from England. England's finished. Did you know that Japanese companies seeking foreign workers specifically say they do not want Muslims? Did you know there's not even a trace of Sharia law in Japan? Did you know halal food is almost impossible to find in Japan? You want me to go on? I can go on. Or you can go on. You can read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. Why there is almost no Islamic terrorism in Japan. The reason is there's no Islamic immigration into Japan. That's number one. There's no catering to Muslims. That's number two. That's why Japan will survive, number three. Now, here's a very sensitive topic that goes way beyond immigration, and it's going to set off a lot of nervousness amongst the listeners of this show, and it's about inbreeding. And let me start from the top on inbreeding. When I was very young and I went to get a marriage license, I had to take a blood test. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a racist society that forced you to have a blood test? In New York State, you know why I had to have a blood test? It was called a Wasserman test. It was to make sure that neither of the parties had syphilis. Ha! That's a joke. Why, in San Francisco, that's probably considered a healthy thing. Oh, yeah, probably a prerequisite for marriage in certain communities in San Francisco. But let's not get too sarcastic. There were blood tests. You were not allowed to marry somebody who was your first cousin. Now, why is it that America, when I was a kid, or young, rather, didn't permit first cousins to marry? Can you imagine anything as crazy as that? You can't marry a first cousin? Why would a society prohibit first cousins from marrying? Can anyone figure that out? Of course you can. Why would New York State prohibit first cousin marriage when I was young? It doesn't anymore, I don't think. Actually, cousin marriage is legal in New York. I just have the list here. Various states have different laws regarding marriages between first cousins. 25 states prohibit marriages between first cousins. 6 states allow first cousin marriage under certain very restricted circumstances. Why is that? Why would a state prohibit first cousin marriage? Because anyone who took elementary biology, I'm talking high school level biology, knows that inbreeding produces problems. It's a very big problem, whether it be amongst stock animals or human beings. Inbreeding produces disease, mental illness, and other problems. Most people know that. Most sane people know that if you marry your sister, meaning if you have incest, you're probably going to produce a defective child. Now, in America, that unto itself is a phrase that would offend Hillary Clinton and all of the progressives. There can be no defective children. By definition, there is no such thing as a defective child. To the psychos on the left, everyone is equal. And of course, we all know they're insane. But I'm talking about inbreeding. I'm talking about inbreeding in any society. Why am I talking about it now? Because you may not know this, that massive inbreeding within the Muslim culture has been going on for a very long time. In fact, for the last 1,400 years, primarily in the Third World. And what are the consequences of intermarriage between first cousins? Well, intelligence, sanity, health, etc. Are affected. Inbreeding. What does that have to do with what we're talking about? If you can't figure it out, then don't even listen to the rest of the conversation, because I want to talk about this over the next few minutes or the next 30 minutes on the Savage Nation, because studies show that children of what we call consanguineous marriages, that's identical blood or close blood, have lower intelligence, lower IQ than children of non-related parents. We used to know about hybrid vigor. You know what hybrid vigor is? It's marrying out of your close family associates. In other words, you don't marry a cousin, you marry a stranger. That's called hybrid vigor. That's why in America, people are so intelligent, which they generally are. It's because we're not marrying cousins. We're not marrying our sisters. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? People go out, they meet someone strange, different culture, different religion, different race, and they marry, and they usually produce a viable offspring that's more viable than either of the two partners. That's what hybrid vigor means in a human being or in another situation. But the Muslim culture, according to studies, still practices inbreeding. In fact, in Pakistan, pay attention now, Pakistan, where the two lovely darling newlyweds just came from, that slaughtered all those people in that place called San Bernardino, and then say Muslim, then say slaughterers. Hillary, did you know there was a Muslim massacre just a week ago in San Bernardino, Hillary? Did you know that the murderers came from Pakistan? At least the woman did. And did you know that in Pakistan, Hillary, 70%, that's a 7 and a 0, a 7 and a 0, Hillary, 70% of all marriages are between first cousins, Hillary. I know they'll make excellent Democrats because they have low intelligence, they're half insane, their health is suffering. What else could you ask for in a future America? A nation of, well, you get the picture. I'll continue when I come back with more about what you are facing from psychotic progressives like Hillary Clinton with regard to immigration on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIA. Especially not, though, now, Frank, not amongst first cousins or sisters. Now, most of us know you don't marry a first cousin for good reason, because you produce defective children. Ooh, did I say defective children? Unfortunately, that happens. It's a terrible tragedy. The consequences of very close marriage in a family, consanguineous marriage, is well known to have serious impact on the child's intelligence, health, sanity, and their behavior. We'll get to the behavior in a few minutes. Now, inbreeding is well known in amongst the historians in ancient Egypt. If you're a pseudo-historian, please hang up and don't listen to the show. If you're another one of those idiots who went to Harvard or Yale, who scream at full professors even though you never belonged on campus to begin with, and you know it. You were ushered in because of reasons other than your brains, and now that you can't keep up, you're screaming at full professors, telling them that they're racist for wanting you to keep up with everyone else. That's what's going on. Our universities are melting down like Chernobyl under Barry Obama, because he wants to destroy every institution. He wants to flatten everything that's good and great about this nation. Everything is melting down in the country, from the police to the universities to the borders to our language to our culture. But I'll get back to that in a minute. Pseudo-historians don't know what's going on, but I do. The most famous example of inbreeding occurred in ancient Egypt. Several pharaonic dynasties literally collapsed after a few hundred years because they were marrying within the family. In order to keep wealth and power within the family, the ancient Egyptian pharaohs often married their own sister or half-sister. And what happened after a handful of generations is well known. The offspring were mentally and physically unfit to rule. Now, the same is true about the royal houses of Europe. Take a look at Prince Charles. He's an example of inbreeding. Look at him. Look at his ears. Listen to him talk about global warming while his nation has been overrun by Muslims. This moron. All he knows how to do is put on a tie and paint bad watercolors. This idiot. The royal houses of Europe have royal families that for centuries married among each other, because tradition did not allow them to marry people of non-royal class. Today, thank God, the mental retardation is diminished in the royal families because they can now marry for love, not just for status. Unfortunately, it didn't help Prince Charles. He came along too soon.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
About immigration, and then you ask yourself, well, should anyone be allowed into a country? Of course. What country says anyone is welcome except an insane nation? You have to have some sort of selection process, don't you, or not? Every sane nation on earth does have a sane immigration policy, except this one. We used to have a sane immigration policy until that drunk bum from Massachusetts, that stumble bum drunk Kennedy, tricked America with the Immigration and Naturalization Act of 1965. And when it was being discussed, that stumblebum drunk had the nerve to say it will not affect the demographics of America. Well, we know what to expect from a drunk psychotic like someone from the Kennedy family. Take a look at America today. Take a look at what it's become from this massive influx. No selection whatsoever. Now, so you start with a selection process for your immigrants. What do you want as an immigrant? Well, you want workers. If you have factories and nobody wants to work in them, you need workers. Do we need workers in factories right now? I don't think so. And the factories that are running are almost entirely running on immigrant labor. Americans generally don't work in factories anymore. It's easier to go on welfare. They made it easier for you to go on welfare and get government cheese than to go work in a factory. So they bring in the immigrants. Now, what about the health issues? When my father came here, you had to go through a health screening. Remember Ellis Island? E-L-L-I-S, Ellis Island, where all European immigrants passed through. Remember the movie The Godfather, little Corleone? He had a cough, he had TB, they kept him in isolation for a while, 3 months, whatever. They wouldn't let a sick person into our beautiful country because they were afraid what would happen, Hillary. If a person had TB and you let him into the city of New York with TB, he could spread it amongst the healthy people. So you tended to keep the sick ones out of your city, Hillary. Dillery Dock. The mouse ran up the clock. The clock struck one, and Trump is a racist. That's all you need to know, you good old Democrat voters. You're so smart. You all went to such good universities. So we're talking about what kind of immigrants we want, healthy, sick, workers, non-workers. I believe we need no immigration for 7 years. I say so in Government Zero, but I'm not talking about that anymore. I'm talking about why is there so much madness amongst third world Muslims? Why is there so much hatred and anger and murder? Why? Where is it coming from? Well, it's coming from teachings. It's coming from inbreeding. In plain English, it's not coming out of the air. A rough estimate shows that close to half of all Muslims in the world are inbred. In Pakistan, 70% of all marriages are between first cousins. In Turkey, the amount is between 20, 25 and 30%. There's also more stillbirths among immigrants. Did you know that? Now, here's a sad fact that you don't know about, because it's an embarrassing fact for the New World Order Flood Europe with Immigrants group. Although Pakistanis account for 3% of births in the United Kingdom, they make up 33% of children born with birth defects in the country. Did you know that? It's a very sad fact of reality. And as a result, children with low IQ are far more likely to drop out of school, have limited job skills, limited prospects for employment. And in addition, inbred people are at a high risk for a wide range of developmental abnormalities. I don't have to spell them out. Inbreeding also results in a significantly higher percentage of stillbirths, increased risk of schizophrenia, criminal insanity, mental illness, and so forth and so on. It's well known. So what does that have to do with immigration? Well, let's look at it a little bit. Where does this come from? In Britain, 55% of British Pakistanis marry first cousins. Let me repeat the fact. Are you ready, Hillary? Do you have a tape recorder running, Hillary, and all you progressives? In Britain, B-R-I-T-A-I-N, 5.5%, that's a zero with a slash and a zero, 5.5% of British Pakistanis marry first cousins. What happens? What happens? Well, high rates of death, low intelligence, mental illnesses, or even mental retardation. And what does that have to do with anything? Well, I don't know. You figure it out. High rate of intermarriage, of inbreeding. What happens? If many children come from repeat generations of first cousin marriages, what does that produce? It produces a catastrophe amongst the intellect of that people. You have to ask yourself a certain question that's very embarrassing. It's a very tough one. It's a real tough one, Hillary. Very tough question, Hillary. How come there are so few Nobel Prize winners amongst a certain group of people, Hillary? How come, Hillary? Racism? Sexism? You fill in the blank. You and Obama have the playbook. You want to bring them into the country? I think I've made my point. I can go on. There's a lot more evidence, and there's a lot more to be said. But I think you got the picture. If you have generations of inbred parents, and then they marry, and then they have a child, it keeps increasing the risk of negative mental and physical consequences greatly. Now, the good news is the amount of blood-related marriages is much lower among Muslim immigrants living in the West. The kids are smarter here. They don't marry their first cousin in America. They've stopped living like they did 500 years ago. They're educated, so there's hope. However, you don't bring them in from a third world country where they have inbred and produce children who may produce the same thing. That's a very important fact. Research conducted by the BBC and broadcast to a shock nation a few years ago found that at least 55% of the Muslim community was married, of the Pakistani Muslim community, was married to a first cousin. Now, why does that matter? Because it matters. It matters. Now, why was there so much emphasis upon first cousin marriages? Social status, keeping wealth within the family, control of the family, and of also the most important thing is not letting outsiders, meaning non-Muslims, influence the child. Now, I'm going to go to what happened in San Bernardino last week, Hillary, when Muslims slaughtered many people with automatic guns at a holiday party. Hillary. Now, what about the little baby that they left with Granny in the House of Terror? They left the little infant with Granny, innocent old Muslim Granny. She knew nothing. She didn't know about the pipe bombs, didn't know about the machine guns. She knew nothing. They live in a one-room apartment. The place is loaded with explosives and pipe bombs, machine guns, hate literature, and Granny knew nothing. She was just an innocent rockabye baby. So Granny now has the baby. Social services took the little baby from the killers, who are now dead. And take a guess what's going on. The verminous lawyers, along with the verminous CAIR organization, one of the most dangerous groups in American history, are now lobbying strongly to make sure, listen to this, to show you how unracist they are. Are you ready for this? They're insisting that the baby be adopted by a Muslim family. That's how much they love everyone else. In other words, a good Christian family isn't good enough for them. It has to be a Muslim family because they love Christians and they love America. Now, the fact of the matter is it's very unlikely that that baby's going to be given to anyone within that so-called social circle. Because even insane California has standards, I think. And there are very strict rules on whether you can give a baby back to a family that just committed this type of murder. But I don't know. Under Jerry Brown, he may pass some kind of pardon or amnesty and make an exception. We never know. He's busy right now in Paris talking about, no, not the slaughter of innocents by Muslims, but global warming. Warming. The Ming Dynasty. Warming Dynasty. All right, so I've made some good points. It's a quarter to the hour, almost. We're talking about immigration, talking about inbreeding. We're talking about immigration and inbreeding. We're talking about why in my day you had to take a blood test and you couldn't marry a first cousin. And what's happened to America since? Do I have to spell it out, what's happened since? Now, people will say that, look, I own the topic of immigration because my mantra has been, my motto for the show has been borders, language, culture since 1994. And I'm very proud to tell you, I've been trying to warn you. I've been called the Paul Revere of our time, long before it became a coloring book. We had Paul Revere Society meetings. Many of you remember them. In the heydays of my early days of radio, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, those were some of the greatest days of my life, the early days of radio, when I was a mere local host on KSFO in San Francisco. Because I always knew I'd be a national host. I was blocked by the corporations at that time. And the fact of the matter is I went ahead as though the whole world was listening. It didn't matter whether I was on one station or 300. It didn't matter. What mattered was the message. That's all the same message, by the way, for all these years, based upon rational discussion. And so we had events, Saving Private, the Real Private Ryan, one of the greatest events I could ever remember. We had World War II heroes up on the stage that brought the audience to tears. Men in their 80s at that time are probably long dead. You should see those men proudly on stage in their uniforms. The audience was just stunned with just respect for these men. Saving the Real Private Ryan, then we had Name 'Em and Shame 'Em, where I cut out cardboard posters of the worst people in America, including Hillary Clinton, which I'm pretty sure is how I wound up on the Being Banned in Britain list. I'm pretty sure it's from her operatives, the Nazis who work for her, the fascists who go after anyone who says one word about her. Saving Private Ryan, Name 'Em and Shame 'Em, other events. Okay, whatever. Borders, language, culture. So here we are now. Our borders have been destroyed first by Bill Clinton. It started with Bill Clinton. Bill and Hillary Clinton were the first presidents, and she was the president as well. He was busy diddling in the back room while she was running the country with Sidney Blumenthal, to the best of my knowledge. Sidney and Hillary, It's like Bonnie and Clyde. Sidney and Hillary were running America while he was busy doing what he does best, chasing interns. And during that period, she decided that there weren't enough Democrats and that liberals were not reproducing enough Democrats because generally liberals only want sex without children. And so she figured out very wisely that in order to get more Democrats so that she could be president one day, she better break the borders down and bring them in by the trainload, busload, planeload. And look at that. Look where we are today. Bringing them in around the clock from south of the border, north of the border, east of the border, west of the border. And what do you think they're bringing them in for? Do you think they're bringing them in because they have compassion? They're bringing them in for one reason only. Cheap labor if they can work and voting, period. No other reason. Now, I have made my point on borders. What does that have to do with our language? What does it have to do with our language? In the sickest city in America, San Francisco, which is also the most corrupt, if we had a true U.S. attorney, as they do in New York, there'd be arrests like you can't believe. Half the leadership in the city would be in orange jumpsuits if we had a Mr. Bahara, as they do in New York City, like they took down Sheldon Silver, the very religious Sheldon Silver in New York State. Another one who hid behind his religion. And he's not a Muslim, by the way, he's Jewish. Don't get me started on that, boy. I can go on that for about 2 hours. About people of any religion who use their religion as a weapon to keep people away from their corruption or their deviancy. Sheldon Silver was a religious Jewish man on the surface. But Sheldon Silver, one of the most powerful politicians in New York State, was just indicted for all sorts of unimaginable crimes that you can never imagine, financial crimes mainly. And so don't think it's limited to one religion. The corruption is rampant, and many people will use any weapon they can to get what they want. But nevertheless, so borders, language, culture is what we're talking about. And the only question is, I don't want to only talk about Trump. It's okay, it's done already. We know what's going on. He said what everyone's thinking. And as a result, the vermin on the left are jumping on him, saying things about him that they've said about everybody in talk radio who has more or less said the same thing for the last number of years. It's that simple. But nobody on the national stage has said it, so they can ignore us. They can make believe we don't exist, even though our audiences are multitudes larger than theirs. Multitudes. Anyone in syndicated radio in the top five shows has a far larger audience than anybody in television on a daily basis. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Let me conclude this hour by saying I have a political statement to make. I'm calling for a legislative ban on first cousin marriages in the United States of America. Right now, first cousin marriage is prohibited in many states, but not in all. I'm going further than that. I want a ban on all first cousin marriages in the United States of America. That would be a compassionate imperative for the United States of the United States of America, for Muslims and non-Muslims. Compassion for the health of future generations would dictate that we should ban intermarriage among first cousins. It would also lessen Muslim immigration to the West because Muslims overwhelmingly want to marry Muslims. In fact, the religious beliefs prohibit marrying non-Muslims. Did you know that? And as a result, it prohibits them or prevents them from adding fresh genetic material to their population. This is an amazing fact that no one's talking about. And take a look at the Arab world overall and see what kind of education is going on. There's almost no interest in science and human development in the Muslim world. The UN Arab Human Development Reports, AHDR, out of the UN, concludes that there have been fewer books translated into Arabic in the last 1,000 years than the amount of books translated within the country of Spain each and every year. Why is that? Once you come to understand what I'm saying to you, you understand that this massive immigration from Muslim nations will destroy this country as sure as we are sitting here. And this is not about race. This is about intelligence and education.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I'm the worst thing that's ever happened to ISIS. The people in my party fully understand that. They're running against me. For the most part, they have no poll numbers. I'm leading by a lot. They get it. They're trying to get publicity for themselves. You know, when I came out against illegal immigration, everybody fought the same thing. 2 weeks later, everybody was on my side, including the members of my own party.
All right, it's all about immigration. It's all about Trump. And it's all about the demagogues and the fools who are misinterpreting what he's saying on purpose for political gain. In the first hour, I talked about inbreeding, and I talked about the dangers of immigrants who have been brought up in families that have inbred for generations. I gave examples. I told you what it means for the short and long term of any society that does not discriminate as to which immigrants they want to bring in. You have to discriminate. Don't you discriminate every day of your life? Listen to me, you good liberals out there who think that I'm such a Neanderthal. You discriminate every day of your life, don't you? Who you have lunch with? Who you have dinner with? What about the condo you live in? Or the co-op? Aren't you discriminating against and for certain people? The country clubs you join? Of course you're a discriminate. You're a very, very discriminating person. You choose who you will talk with and who you won't. Who you'll be seen with, who you won't. Where you'll eat, where you won't eat. Where you'll sleep, where you won't sleep. And don't Mr. and Mrs. Obama discriminate as to the school they send their lovely daughters to? Of course they do. Didn't they go to a very expensive private school? Why didn't they send their children to an inner city school? Because they were discriminating. They're very discriminate people. They know where the children have a better chance of getting a better education. And isn't one of the lovely daughters right now interviewing colleges? Isn't she discriminating? She doesn't want to go to Trenton State. Would Malia Obama want to go to Trenton State? No, she wants to go to either Harvard, Princeton, Yale. Isn't she discriminating? So in other words, everybody discriminates except Obama when it comes to immigrants. And so what I'm saying is we need to be choosy as to who we let into the country. I say let nobody in for 7 years till we can sort out who's already here. But that's a whole separate story. We're talking about the dangers of inbreeding. I've done it for one straight hour. I broke new ground. I talked about why there's no terrorism in Japan because Muslims are basically forbidden from entering Japan. There are no major mosques in Japan, no books, no Qurans in Arabic in Japan, etc. and so on. Call the Japanese then racist. Now, all you pseudo-historians are probably uncomfortable with what I've just said, but the fact of the matter is everything is a fact, or I wouldn't have said it. What are we doing now, importing moderate terrorists from Syria? Is that what we're doing? We're importing moderate terrorists. Now, what's a moderate terrorist? There's someone who holds your legs now while the bad terrorist cuts your head off. A bad terrorist cuts your head off, and a moderate terrorist holds your legs down while your head's being cut off. KVOR, it's time for the callers now for 15, 20 minutes. Okay? Are you ready? Bob, KVOR Radio, line one, go ahead, please.
I'm a retired Special Forces U.S. Army Green Beret. I did several tours, Bosnia and Kosovo. One of the tasks that we had was to monitor the birth rates within the hospitals there. There were 2-to-1 birth rates, Muslim over any other ethnic commodity in that country. Many times, you would see very young, pregnant Muslim girls in their areas, and it was incredible how much they were doing this, and they would do this on purpose in Serb enclaves to overpower them and then use their political will and their Sharia law establishment to run these people out of their little enclaves that were within the Serb area or the Muslim areas.
I'm the only talk show host who was on the side of Serbia during Bill Clinton's illegitimate war crimes against the Serbian people. Do you remember those years or not?
Yes, sir.
For 72 days, my heart was breaking as I watched Bill Clinton commit war crimes. Madeleine Albright is a war criminal. They bombed Serbia illegally. They committed one war crime after another. They bombed hospitals and schools. They blew up every bridge on the Danube River in order to steal Kosovo from the Serbs. I know that. I'm the only one who talked about it. So now you're talking about another fact that I didn't know, which is that the Muslims were outbreeding the Serbs in order to overpower them. Does that sound familiar to you right now?
Yes, and in addition to that, there was a couple of times, and matter of fact, one particular day, it wasn't very far away from the house that I was occupying, that there were gypsies in that area. And they, some little turds, we had a curfew at 10 o'clock for them in a little town called Jelani. As they would leave the bars, these good Muslims, after they were drinking and partying all night, would then leave, and as on their way home, they would toss grenades over the walls of any area they knew that held anybody that wasn't within what they wanted, and they killed an old woman in there. My medic went in there and tried to save her, but couldn't do it. When we took her to the hospital...
So what does that have to do with immigration in America today? Obviously, you're making a bigger point.
Immigration in America today, here's the problem. I'll tell you, Bob, I
appreciate your service to America, and I'm sending you a copy of, I think you made your point, Government Zero. I hear what you're saying, and you're saying it from a different point of view. Let's go to a Muslim caller on WMAL in Washington, D.C., line 9. Go ahead, please, make your point quickly on the Savage Nation.
Hello?
Yes, make your point. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to disprove what you've been saying about Islam, okay? You were talking about inbred. There's nothing in the Quran that says you can marry your first cousins. I will refer you to chapter 4 of the Quran that states who you can marry. And part of the people that you cannot marry are your cousins, your first cousins, your people that are related to you. So
that's good to know. Then why is it that 55% of Pakistanis in England are marrying their first cousin?
Maybe that's Pakistani culture. That's not the Quran. That's Pakistani culture. You should talk about their own culture, not the Quran. Okay?
But they're not Pakistani Christians.
You don't know what you're talking about. You're supposed to be an intelligent man. But
sir, you just got caught in your mistake. Don't now get angry and try to jawbone me with your anger and your rage. You just lost the argument. You just said it's Pakistanis, not Muslims, and I said it's Pakistani Muslims, not Pakistani Christians that are inbreeding.
Okay, but maybe that's Pakistani culture. But maybe that's the...
All right, so you made a good point. It is Pakistani culture, but where are they getting it from?
From their own culture, not the Quran. I'm going to refer you to the Quran. If you can...
In Britain, 55% of British Pakistanis marry first cousins. And the consequences of such... consanguineous marriages are very unpleasant. Death, low intelligence, mental retardation. That's what we're talking about. Negative cognitive consequences on people who marry first cousins.
The Quran tells people to marry their first
cousins. Over and over again, and you're proving my point. You're obsessed with the Quran. Do you read any other books?
Of course I read other books. Right, but I'm not going to sit as a Muslim, right? I'm not going to sit here and let you tell lies about my religion. Here we go.
Why don't you get out the blade now and start running amok now? You can't have an intelligent conversation. Right away you're enraged over a fact that I made. I didn't make it up. I said 55% of all Pakistanis in London are marrying first cousins, and it is not a healthy thing for the society or the children. So now what are you getting so excited about?
Okay, I'm excited because what you said, I heard in your opening statement, right? You were talking about inbred. You said it's the Quran. It's the Quran. That's what you said. Okay.
No, I did not say that. I never said that.
Yes, you did.
I never said that. I never said that.
You said Muslims, right?
I didn't say the Quran says it. I said it's very common amongst Muslims in the third world. I specifically stated the following. I said inbreeding is common in Islamic culture. That's what I said.
Well, you get you're 70% from. I don't know where they got your facts from.
All right, here, now you're an expert. What, are you a scientist as well as being an enraged individual in Washington, D.C.? Are you walking around like you know everything? What do you mean where I get my facts from? I'm a trained scientist. I get my facts from facts. You get it from your Quran. Your whole Quran is the whole world to you, right? That's all you have is your holy book. To you, you only need one book, the Quran. That's all you need, right?
Wait a minute. Well, I'm telling you, right?
Telling you that you're an ignorant man. That if you walk around with one book and that's your whole world, then you know nothing except the one book.
My own word, man. That's what I'm saying to you. I'm quoting you that what you said is false.
You see, you're going back to saying something I didn't say. This is typical of raging terrorists like you. I never said the Quran said you can marry your first cousin. You keep repeating the big lie to justify your sick hatred.
No, you don't have hatred.
Take a walk. Take a walk. Go into a subway somewhere and go get a soapbox. I'll repeat what I said. Inbreeding, common in Islamic culture in the third world. I also said first cousin marriages are less common amongst Muslims in America, which is a good thing. But the enraged caller chose not to hear that. I said that Pakistanis account for only 3% of births in the UK. And they make up 33% of children born with birth defects because of inbreeding. I'm trying to argue that we should eliminate first cousin marriage, make it illegal in all states. Right now it's illegal in only some states. It's very simple. I'm calling for a policy position. There are state laws regarding marriages between first cousins of anybody. Forget Muslims for a minute. They're not the be-all and end-all of the world. You could be a nothing, a zero religion. First cousin marriage is prohibited in certain states. Unfortunately, it's allowed in other states under very, very strict restrictions. In Arizona, you can marry a first cousin if both are over 65 and one or both are unable to reproduce. Now, why do you suppose that is? Because everyone knows that if you marry a cousin, the chances of such inbreeding are going to produce defective children. Illinois, you can marry a first cousin if both are 50 or older and one is unable to reproduce. Indiana, if both are at least 65. In Utah, if both are 65 or older, or if both are over 55 and one is unable to reproduce. So why do you suppose states limit first cousin marriage? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Except North Carolina, by the way, which is going to become a joke. It can become a laugh line. In North Carolina, first cousin marriage is legal. 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 We're not talking about religion now. We're talking about genetics. Genetics. You need to have a minimal education to even discuss genetics. Well, I would say seventh grade minimum to even know what the word genetics mean. Put religion aside. Why do you suppose there are inherent prohibitions against first cousin marriages in so many places in America? Because we know that it produces defective children. And it's not a good thing to do for the child or the society. And the good news is that most Muslims in America who have been here do not practice first cousin marriage. But as you can hear from the caller in the last segment, third worlders believe in the sufficiency of a single book. There is no other book for them. The intolerance is evident in the man's anger. He believes that there is only one book in the world, the only possible book. He doesn't even understand that this intolerant self-sufficiency that seems to make the Quran the only possible book was dropped by the 8th century. By the 8th century, Muslims dropped that idea that they only needed one book. And learning sprang up everywhere in the footsteps of the Arab conquerors. Once they gave up the backwards idea that you only needed one book. By the 8th century, there was an educational organization throughout the entire Arabized world because they gave up the ideas of our friend from WMAL who thinks he needs only one book. By the 9th century, learned men in the schools of Cordoba in Spain were corresponding with learned men in Cairo, Baghdad, Bukhara, and Samarkand. And then the Jewish mind assimilated very readily with the Arab mind. And the two Semitic races worked very well together through the medium of Arabic. Why? Because the Arabs had moved beyond their 7th century ISIS view of the sufficiency of a single book. You get it? I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Basically, what I'm saying is it's time to discriminate. Discriminating and discriminate are very important words. It means to differentiate, those of you who don't know what it means. The word discriminate used to mean simply to differentiate, to distinguish between good and bad, right from wrong, in order to make a correct choice. But because of the fools on the campuses and the rise of postmodernist Western stupidity, which is uncomfortable about judging anything to be good or bad, you know where that came from, don't you? You know where that came from, huh? Judgmentalism? That started when? In the 60s. From which community told you not to be judgmental? So as a result of this insanity, we're not supposed to be discriminating or differentiating between religions, cultures, sexualities, and so forth. In other words, everything's now the same. But it isn't the same. And that is why the president's children go to a private school, because they have very intelligent parents who differentiate between bad schools and good schools. That is why the president's daughters are looking at the best colleges in America, so-called, because their parents are intelligent and they differentiate between bad schools and good schools. Right? Or wrong? So I gave you a little bit of a history lesson here, and I showed you how in the 7th century, when the Arabs swept across so much of the world through murder and flame and fire, conquered so many nations, after this conquest, things changed after 100 or 200 years. And the intolerance of the early days of faith, which made the Quran seem like the only possible book, that intolerance was eventually dropped. And by the 8th century, 9th century, the Arab world had given so much to the world. Now we're going back to the 7th century with ISIS. How many of these idiots that Obama's bringing in from Syria are practicing a 7th century form of Islam or a 20th century form of Islam? Shouldn't there be a test as to where they are developmentally?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Amazing what happens when you actually try to bring a certain level of education to talk radio. It's very difficult. Let me tell you, if you do two legs good, four legs bad, and you stick to A and B, A and B, A and B, Democrat, Republican, A, B, A, B, A, B, and you don't go too far afield from those two tracks, it's an easy thing to do. But when you go outside the realm of the two tracks that most people ride on and listen to all day long, it's a very difficult business. It's not an easy business to do if you actually try to break new ground and break through the pseudo-historical garbage that has altered our minds more formidably than LSD had in the 1960s. The lies coming out of the academic government complex are far worse on our minds than LSD was in the 1960s. The lies coming out of Jake Tapwater, Wolf Blitzer, and all of the other liars in the media are worse than all of the pseudo-historians put together. How they distort what I say, what Trump says, what others say. They're very dangerous propagandists. They're altering your mind in a way that drugs could never alter your mind. And so when you go up against the tide every day, you're going to find resistance, and people will say you said things you didn't even say. So you have to listen a little more carefully, because learning is very hard. Learning is difficult. Psychotherapy is difficult. Ask any therapist. A real test of whether psychotherapy is working is whether it makes you uncomfortable. If your therapist is not making you uncomfortable, you're not having therapy, you're a yenta. And you're talking to a yenta for $400 an hour. Write that down. Put it on YouTube. If your psychiatrist or therapist is not making you uncomfortable, then you're not having psychotherapy. You're not going to change. You're just a yenta. a busybody, a gossip, and a con man or a con woman is sitting with the legs crossed, listening to your garbage, telling you whatever you did is good, and you're paying her $400 an hour to tell you that you're okay. I'm okay, you're okay, now give me the $400. That's not psychotherapy. Psychotherapy is hard work. Learning is very hard work. I was uncomfortable every day of my life in college. Every course I took made me uncomfortable. Mathematics was very hard. Organic chemistry was even harder. Everything I took was hard. I could have taken stupid courses in political science. That would have been easy. And I could have become a community organizer working for some labor union in New York. And then gone hung around with the politicians who are now running New York, the idiots, who couldn't take any hard courses. So the fact is that anything that's worth anything is difficult. I learned that when I was a little boy. Now, look what's going on in the campuses today. Because of the postmodernist insanity that everyone is equal, everyone belongs on Yale's campus, for example, they've ushered people into Yale through affirmative action that never, ever qualified to go to Yale. As a result, Yale is melting down. There's a story from 2 days ago that I was holding because it was too painful to even talk about. They forced a wonderful couple to quit, a white couple. He's a full professor of medicine. His wife was a full professor of another subject. And the jackals attacked the wife for something she wrote that was so mild, you would say, how could they get mad at that? Because it made some of the affirmative action attendees uncomfortable. So the husband professor went out in the quad to try and reason with these jackals. And you know what happened? Listen carefully to what happened to the full professor of medicine from one of the jackals in the square at Yale.
You should step down! If that is what you think about being a professor, you should step down! It is not about creating an intellectual space! It is not! You understand that? It's about creating a home here! You are not doing that!
You're supposed to be our advocate!
You should be at the event last night when you hear her Franco say that she didn't know how to create a safe space for her freshman exilement! How do you explain that? These freshmen come here and they think this is what Yale is? You hear that? They're gonna leave, they're gonna transfer because you are a poor student of this community! You should not sleep at night!
We're out!
You are disgusting!
So there's the Al Sharpton group that they brought into Yale. And they learn very, very well. If you can't keep up, you shout as loud as you can and you scare the professors. That nice professor and his wife resigned the next day. And they're young people in their 40s. And as a result, the school lost two wonderful professors. And the jackals have won. Now, do you know where this ends up? Do you know how this goes? Do you know how this winds up? If you give in to the mobs? Do you understand where this came from? It came from Barack Obama. He taught them this whole game of shouting people down, scaring people with yelling and screaming about white privilege, all of these invented terms invented by white communists to destroy the system itself. You know how this ends up? Take a look at Zimbabwe. That's how it ends up. Okay, so that's one example. People don't want to be uncomfortable in their learning. It should be a pleasant experience. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So they take courses in ethnic studies, make up journals, and they give each other rewards. Sex studies, gender studies, all of this garbage, this invented garbage that doesn't even belong on campuses to begin with. These are no longer institutions of higher learning. They're institutions of lower living. Let's go to the callers. Tom on line 6. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. Hey, you mentioned earlier about putting a policy together to ensure that Muslims don't marry first cousins.
No, you didn't hear. Again, you said Muslims. I said no. I didn't say Muslims. Now you're sounding like the guy in the subway from MAL. I said first cousin marriage should be prohibited in America. I didn't say Muslims. I said first cousin marriage, period.
You're right. I'm sorry about that. But my point was this. The libertarian perspective is, why is even the government involved in marriage?
Well, this is the kind of stupidity. You have the same mentality as the Muslims from the 7th century who believe in the libertarian perspective. So now you're applying it across the board without any discernment. You have the same limited mind, as the person practicing the 7th century Islam does. How can you apply? How do you say the government has no place in that? There should be no traffic lights, no red, yellow, and green lights because the government made the lights? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm agreeing with you.
Well, no, the libertarian perspective would indicate that there should be no traffic lights either, because that's evil government, right?
I believe that marriage is definitely between, you know, a man and a woman.
But you're applying the same limited mindset as the 7th century Muslim did, who believed in the sufficiency of a single book. So you're applying the sufficiency of a single idea called libertarianism, and you're not even using it intelligently. You're saying it should apply across the board. Government should have no role in anything, is what you're saying, right?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that my libertarian friends and I have a libertarian leaning. We argue and we debate over this. And
I understand, but you're not thinking. All you're doing is repeating a homily over and over again. I'm saying that the government has every obligation to pass laws prohibiting certain behaviors, don't they?
Right. Well, my point to my buddy was simply that
I don't care about your drunken buddy in a bar. I said categorically, a government has an obligation to pass certain laws regarding certain acts and behaviors, don't they?
Yes, but like
all right, hold on. So let's say we would all agree in a sane society that you should prohibit sex with animals. Wouldn't you say that's a good idea for a government to ban that, unless you live in Washington State?
Absolutely.
All right, so you agree with me that a government has to pass some laws, because otherwise people would live lower than animals. So a law that says you should not have sex with a farm animal is a good law, right? And even your libertarian buddies would agree with that, correct?
Well, no. When it comes to this, but my point to my libertarian buddies...
Wait, please, can we take it a step at a time? Can we please take it a step at a time? Even your libertarian buddies, while they're drinking their buds, would understand that a government has to enact certain laws to control a population. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
All right, so we're talking about another law, prohibit first cousin marriage. It's outlawed in 36 states. I think it should be outlawed in 50 states.
I agree.
All right, I don't want to belabor this. I just had a cracker with tuna fish on it. I'd rather keep it down than see it come back up through my nostrils. I mean, I made my point. Of course you need government. We're talking about limited government. I'm not talking about an oppressive government that rules over every aspect of your life. So, again, going to a primary point, and I think we've covered it. I don't want to go over it again and again and again. You know, it's a short answer question. It's not an essay. There are various state laws regarding marriages between first cousins, and 25 states prohibit marriages between first cousins. North Carolina is the only state that allows first cousin marriage. Now, who is the senator from North Carolina? That may explain it. Who are the congressmen from North Carolina? That would explain an awful lot of the behavior coming out of that. I'm joking. No, the fact is, why would a state permit first cousin marriage, a state like North Carolina? You know, the jokes, the hillbillies and all of that, you get it? The inbreeding. I mean, you made jokes about it when it was in America, right? WJR, Gus, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation from Detroit on WJR Radio. What's your point?
Hi, Dr. Savage. I was born in Iraq and Baghdad, and I'm here in Michigan. I'm considering myself as a Chaldean American. And I just want to say everything you say, and I've been listening to you for years, everything you say, it's true, and you always predict things for the future. And I'm trying to educate people and trying to refer them to you, especially with the sentence that you usually use, and I think you have a book about it, The Enemy Within. You are 100% true on everything you say. The marriage from cousins, that is happening in Iraq since I was born there in 1969. And all the things that you say, it is true. And I see that you are the only conservative or the person that I like to listen to that mentioned Quran a lot, which is the reason why this world became to the level that we are right now. Muslim people, they're just like you and me, they are human, but what they are learning, if anybody with a brain and can Google like Ayat al-Tawbah and other verses from Quran and read it, you don't need any explanation. It says cut the arm, and you have to cut your left arm and right leg if you steal, stoning, everything. And the people who are...
No, they swear, they still do it in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia cuts the hands off people who are thieves, right?
That is 100%.
Saudi Arabia, high-class Saudis cut off the hands of a thief amongst fellow Muslims. What kind of religion teaches that?
I know, that is in Islam. I mean, it spells it...
Well, but wait a minute. Here's the thing we got to be very careful with here. It's found in the Old Testament. It comes from the Jewish Bible. You know that or don't you, Gus?
I 100% understand that.
Okay. And I mean, if you read Leviticus, you'll see the same things in the Jewish Bible, which predated the Quran. So they copied it. The difference is that the Jewish people have moved beyond all of the edicts and laws of the Old Testament. And so have most Muslims in the world. They do not practice this fundamentalist, minimalist view of the Quran. They're not living in the 7th century. But unfortunately, in America, we are afraid to even look into this issue.
Correct. But Dr. Savage, if you talk to any Muslim, and for you, they are not going to open their heart for you. But if you talk to them, they will tell you, we would like to have al-Sharia law. Even if you surround them, corner them to a degree, say, like, do you really want it? They said, yeah, that's what our book says. I mean, if we can, we will have it.
And what does Sharia law bring to a community? Tell me what it brings to an open Western society, but hatred and murder.
Absolutely, you're right. Hate and murder and fear. And they are trying to do it in Canada and Denmark and other places of the world. But
right, with Hillary Clinton in the White House, you will have a Sharia-compliant government. You know that as well as I do. The only hope we have is Donald Trump. I don't care what they say about him. He is the only one who's standing up to this war against the West. Now, you know, you said at the beginning you're a Chaldean Christian. Can you explain to my vast listenership who the Chaldeans are? I happen to know because I know what persecution you have gone through. Tell my audience in a minute or less what that refers to.
Okay, Chaldeans are the original people in Iraq. If you Google it, we were written in the Bible. And we are Catholic, Roman Catholic, live in Iraq. And there are a few of us in Syria and few in Iran. We are Christian people. And believe it or not, Saddam Hussein was protecting us at that time.
Oh, I know it. I know it's true. I know the greatest mistake that Bush ever made in his life was killing Saddam.
Cook for him. They were Chaldean and Christian, surrounded by very close Christian people, because he knows that they don't stab him in the back. All right.
Yeah. Well, the same thing is true of Assad, is it not? The monster Assad. Does he not protect the minority groups in Syria right now?
I will tell you my honest truth. I don't even know what's your view about Assad. Assad, based on what I know from relatives and people from Syria, he adored the Christian people there and the minorities. He goes eat in their houses, go shop in their stores.
Well, now you know why Obama wants him dead. What more do you need to know than what you just said? Putin wants Assad to stay, and Obama wants Assad dead. Hillary wants Assad dead. What does that tell you?
I don't know.
It tells you that they're going to make the biggest mistake of our lifetime, bigger than killing Saddam, bigger than killing Gaddafi. If Syria falls to the animals who want to take over that country, and it won't, by the way, because Putin will use nuclear weapons to prevent that from happening. As sure as I'm sitting here, he will use nuclear weapons on ISIS, and he won't have to get permission from 10 Downing Street for that. I'm going to send you Government Zero for the holidays. You're a Christian. That's a stocking stuffer. Back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. The issue is immigration. I'm also talking about inbreeding, and we're talking about a lot of different things in the Savage Nation. I'm not going to summarize them. I can't do it in 1 second or less. Here's a little story, though, to close the hour out with. From the Washington Examiner, Paul Bedard. According to the Pew Research Center, Muslims are the fastest growing religious group in the world. Okay? And 70% of them are Democrat. End of story. That's the answer. That's why Obama and Hillary want them here. That's why all of the socially leftist media want them here. They think that they're going to be their friends. Now, it says that Muslims are the fastest growing religious group in the world with 23% of the global population and will take over Christianity as the top religion by the end of the century, according to the Pew Research Center. So, that's worrisome, is it? I'm not actually worried. I'll tell you why. Islam is changing in front of your eyes, and it's because of the women. The women, the female Muslims, the educated Muslim women, will save the world from the scourge of the throwbacks amongst them. They hate their fathers. They hate their insane brothers. They don't want to be treated like animals. And they want to live like a modern woman. They will cause the reformation that is necessary for the world to be safe.
The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, my friends, we now see what the aims are of the multiculturalists. It's a form of cultural genocide. Welcome to the Savage Nation. You were told and you were sold a bill of goods that multiculturalism was about non-racism, but the exact opposite happens to be true. And that's why the liberals are importing people as fast as they can who will never assimilate into this country or, in fact, into Europe, which is why Time magazine awarded that anti-German German Chancellor Merkel, the Eastern European Communist Time Woman of the Year. But I don't want to go into that right now. Instead, I want to take your calls at 855-400-7282 and take calls on the topics I've talked about for the last couple of hours, which is inbreeding and whether we should discriminate, or which means make decisions based on rational decisions. In many ways, we're not doing that. Discriminate means to judge, doesn't it? What's wrong with judging? Don't you judge every day whether to do one thing or another? Don't you judge what to eat, what not to eat, what to drink, what not to drink, whether to walk, whether to run, whether to ride? Don't you make judgments all day long? So why can't you make judgments about who to bring into your country? Don't you make judgments about who you'd bring to your dinner table? So you want to make judgments about who you bring into your nation, don't you? Of course you do. The government is making a judgment. Your government, under Hussein Obama, has said we don't want Christians. That's what he's done. He's made a judgment. He's not a non-racist. He's made a racial decision that he wants predominantly Syrian Muslims. And he wants predominantly Muslim immigrants. He's made a judgment. Why he would make that judgment is pretty clear. It's because he wants to erase the European-American presence in America as rapidly as he can through multiculturalism. That's my analysis. And I'm a trained analyst. Here's a story just came out on WorldNet Daily. British government posts petition calling for Trump ban. Candidate would join Michael Savage as persona non grata. It's an interesting story. It brings up things from the past that I'd rather not dwell on right now. But I will remind you that in 2009, I was banned from entering the UK by Prime Minister Gordon Brown's illegitimate Labour government. And they lumped me together with Muslim jihadists and leaders of racist groups, which was as far from the truth as you could ever imagine. And when I petitioned that government with lawyers, I demanded they tell me what I said they wouldn't tell me. So now the campaign for a Trumpless Britannia is led by American-born Irish citizen Suzanne Kelly, who said Trump's proposal to ban Muslims from entering the United States until security issues can be sorted out will add to the petition. She said, after that particularly hateful speech, I think it's going to have an awful lot of backing. Kelly said, these are very inflammatory times that we're living in. The last thing we need is somebody pouring fuel on a fire. What we need is more tolerance and more cultural understanding. That's very interesting. She cited Trump's concern about the large number of rapists and drug dealers among illegal aliens and his call for increased surveillance of mosques, potentially requiring Muslim Americans to register with official government databases. Well, anyway, this non-entity woman started the petition, and it's got hundreds of thousands of fellow traveling laborites signing it. But the fact of the matter is, I think it was just dropped by the British government. Lucky him. Mine has never been dropped. I thought Cameron's new government would drop the ban, but he never did. Cameron never dropped the ban on Michael Savage. Cameron, who ran as a conservative, turned out to be a laborite in sheep's clothing. Camoron is identical to the Laborites. This is the Savage Nation. Topics are open for debate and discussion. Phone number is 855-400-7282. Let's go to line two. Joel on WABC in New York. Go ahead, please.
Yes. I'm a long-time listener. I find your views to be extremely interesting and informative. I don't know if you've ever looked upon the inbreeding, so to speak, from a completely different viewpoint. I'm a rabbi, and in my temple, we had a Montessori school that was run by Muslim Pakistanis. They were very highly educated, very quality people. And they explained to me, and this is years ago, why they married only family members. Because we look upon inbreeding as only to bring out negative aspects. But they felt it was just the opposite, that with careful inbreeding, knowing the intelligence of your relative, knowing the qualities and background of your relative, by having intermarriage or so-called interbreeding, it brings out the better qualities as well.
Let's pause right there, because that's factually not true. And the reason, Rabbi, you're supporting it, as I well know, is because it's very common in the Orthodox Jewish communities. It's a little hidden secret. Isn't that true?
Yes, especially the Hasidim in Williamsburg and the other enclaves of the Hasidim.
Right. Well, the intelligence, sanity, and health of inbred people are well known to be below that of the non-inbred population. Inbreeding, it doesn't matter whether it's amongst Christians, Jews, or Muslims, have an impact on intelligence, sanity, health, and society. But you're arguing that it's a good thing, but you're wrong. Because let's go back to inbreeding in ancient Egypt. For the very reasons that you just mentioned, pharaonic dynasties practiced inbreeding. But these pharaonic dynasties collapsed after a couple of hundred years as a result of the inbreeding. Why? Because the offspring were mentally and physically unfit to rule. And another historical example are the royal houses of Europe, where royal families often married among each other because tradition would not permit them to marry people of non-royal class. Unfortunately, there was a high amount of mentally retarded and handicapped royals throughout European history. And that shows the unhealthy consequences of inbreeding.
They, Pakistani Muslims who are among the elite, I would say, you know, highly intelligent, extremely...
Wait, did you hear, Rabbi, did you hear a word I said?
Yes.
Rabbi, did you hear a word that I just said?
Yes.
That after- well, I'm giving you an example of pharaonic dynasties that collapsed from inbreeding. And then I showed you that royal families produced an awful lot of inbred morons. It goes against your analysis.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I guess that's you obviously know genetics much better than.
It's not that I know it better than you. These are facts. These are historical facts. And all I'm saying is that I think that inbreeding should be outlawed in all 50 states. First cousin marriage should be prohibited, and it's not limited to Muslims, Jews, Muslims, Christians. I don't care what you are. First cousin marriages should be banned. Now, you know and I know that inbreeding amongst Jews has produced an awful lot of mental illness. Isn't that correct?
Mental illness, some of the other hereditary diseases, which would not have to be.
It's an uncomfortable statement, but it's a fact of reality. If you look into these insular communities, you're not telling me these are all prizes of health, are they?
They explained it that they actually research each other. Like, it's not simply, you know, two people meet and from the same family and marry. I mean, they analyze the party that they're marrying, that the party is highly intelligent, you know, good background, even though it's their own family, so to speak.
So they're practicing an ancient form of breeding, selective breeding. It's an insular form of racism, by the way, that's being practiced. That's what I think. I think it's an insular form of racism to not permit anyone outside the family lineage to marry is a form of racism, isn't it?
Yes, I guess they assume that they're better than anyone else. And
all right, so at least we've crossed that hurdle together. But now let's look at the health of the children, which should be paramount in our discussion. Unfortunately, it does not produce a vigorous, a child, in most cases, it produces the opposite. It's well known in genetics, whether it's with livestock or humans, that hybrid vigor is something you would learn in high school if you didn't go to a yeshiva or a madrasas. You would learn that hybrid vigor results from outbreeding, not from inbreeding.
It's true, but I just let that view with some.
Look, at least you're a rabbi and an intelligent man willing to discuss something. I could just imagine what would have happened if one of the Lubavitch had called me. What kind of heck I would have had to put up with on this radio show. They'd be screaming at me like I was a monster for daring to even raise a scientific point. You know, I had the same discussion years ago, and the heck I got for it, you'll never believe. I was talking about circumcision, and that form of ritual circumcision that's practiced amongst some of these people is so Neanderthal-like, it's frightening, where they do things to the infant baby. You know what I'm talking about? They don't even use a surgical instrument, that they use their mouths. Did you know that?
I do. That's a bit...
No, I know. Laugh all you want. I had rabbis calling me and cursing me in person for daring to raise this topic, saying this barbaric practice is sickening. Not only is it sickening from the point of view of hygiene, but you're passing viruses onto the child, and there are many cases in these communities of the child becoming ill from the rabbi biting the I don't want to spell it out. It's psychotic. And they tell me, how do you know? It's in the Bible. You should do it. I'm telling you, you know, the stupidity of people who practice any religious teaching to the letter of the law is astounding to me.
The one who's performing the circumcision has an illness himself and is passing it on to the poor innocent child. And
it happened. It's happened, and I had Orthodox Jews tell me I'm 100% right. The hospitals will report that this is true. So what are we actually talking about? We started by talking about inbreeding with Muslims. Now we're talking about inbreeding with Jews. Now we're talking about biblical practices that are insane from the point of view of hygiene itself. When they were originally written allegedly to protect the people in the tribe, some of these practices are actually harming the people in the tribe. Am I correct? Now, I'm not suggesting that Orthodox Jews go out and have a shrimp and pork sandwich. I didn't say that. That's what they're afraid of. They say it's a slippery slope. Once you stop practicing the Torah to the letter of the law, the five books of Moses, then the next thing you know is you'll have me eating pork and cutting off my beard. I didn't say that. Isn't there some rationality somewhere along the way?
So therefore, intelligence and common sense plays a very large role in interpreting what the Bible means. And
thank you very much. That's exactly right. Now, I do every show I do, I have a Bible in my office. Ask anybody who knows me. I could swear on not a stack of Bible, but my Bible. Here's the Old Testament. Robert, am I holding it up? Robert, go on the air and tell him yes. My producer's sitting there right there looking at the screen.
I am looking at Skype, and I see the Bible in Michael's hand. It is there.
Right. And how many Post-its are in this Bible? Hundreds of them. So I've read the Bible chapter and verse, but if you read Leviticus chapter and verse, half the people in the street, you'd have to go kill them with a knife. So who does that? Nobody.
It doesn't work like that.
You see what, Rabbi, in other words, you're a rabbi, so I don't know what sect of Judaism do you practice? Reform, Orthodox, liberal, what are you?
Taking the literal word, but we are modern traditional Jews who realize there's an interpretive part of our religion.
Okay, so in Exodus, where it says an eye for an eye, or in specifically the one book that gets most people in trouble is Leviticus. That's where homosexuals are stoned to death. Adulteresses are stoned to death. A person with a disease is stoned to death. Nobody should practice such things. Is that right? We say, crazy, you don't do those things to people. And yet, well, we see that there are parts of the world where they still do this. Saudi Arabia cuts the hand off a thief. Where'd they get it from? Well, they say they got it from the Quran. And the Quran got it from the Bible. Am I correct? Well, where did they get it from? Didn't the Jewish Bible predate the Quran? That's a fact of reality. I'm going to get some maniac screaming, no, you're making it up. It's historically a fact. If you want to be a pseudo-historian and change history, you can change history and say the Quran came first. It didn't. The first of the monotheistic religions is Judaism. The second is Christianity. And the third is Islam. That's a fact of reality. Every educated Muslim knows that.
They all claim allegiance to Father Abraham. It's a shame that they can't get along better with each other since they're basically all right.
But they did. Here's the terrible truth. By the 9th or 10th century, Muslims and Jews were corresponding and producing advances in science and mathematics. And now we have an ISIS group that appears that wants to drag the Muslim world back to the 7th century, not even the 9th century.
The greatest rabbi that we ever had after Moses was a fellow named Maimonides. And his education, he was a philosopher and a doctor. And his knowledge...
Hold it. Rabbi, I can't help this one. He was the Rambam. And he wrote, "He who saves a single life is as though he has saved the entire world." Was that not his writings?
Oh, I didn't hear what you said.
It was the Rambam, Maimonides, in the 1300s who wrote, "He who saves a single life, it is as though he has saved the entire world." Is that not from his writings?
But he's quoting the Talmud.
So it is from the Talmud. That's very interesting. So how do you have a religion who says, "He who takes a single life, it is as though he has saved the entire world"? How do they twist things like that? Why do Jews produce so many doctors and healers? Because it's inherent in their teachings to heal people and save lives. That's where a religion could come in handy. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. It is a shock when you read the Old Testament, and you don't take it literally. If you do, Leviticus would have you turn into a mass murderer. You may as well go join ISIS. You can become a slaughter of people you don't like for any reason in the world. So people know not to take it literally. Not when it comes to the killing and the murdering. I mean, read it. I'm not going to read it to you now. It's in Leviticus, of all the books. So, where does that leave us? What kind of immigrants do we want? Anyone? You don't want to discriminate, is that it? What does the word discriminate mean? It means to differentiate. Why shouldn't you differentiate? When my grandfather, actually when my father came here, he had to go through a discrimination process. If he had leprosy, they wouldn't let him into America. Why would they let a man in with leprosy? They wouldn't. They send them back. Why would they let a man in with a disease? They wouldn't. They send them back. Now there's no problem. Just bring him right into Europe. And if you saw, and I'm not even going to do this today, I'll do it maybe tomorrow, God willing, the diseases that are pouring into Europe right now from the refugees that have broken their borders down thanks to the monster, Angela Merkel, I think your hair would stand up. I'll read you the legion of diseases that were eradicated in Europe that are now appearing. Ask the doctors, ask the nurses. These are hidden facts of reality. The Africans, the Middle Easterners, are bringing in diseases that had been eradicated in Europe. Why would the leaders of Europe do this? If you think it's by accident, you're mistaken. It's by design. Through multiculturalism, they will annihilate the dominant European cultures, which will disappear. Why would Europeans do that, you ask? If you can't put two and two together, then you can't come up with four. Because Obama and Hillary are of the same mindset.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
You know, whether you like Trump or not, he has forced us to talk about immigration. Before him, you couldn't do it. I had dinner years ago with Romney. I told you that before he ran for the presidency. He met me in San Francisco. We had dinner. He's a very nice man. But when I brought up immigration, he got very nervous, and he said, "Well, we can't talk about it because of the Hispanic voters." That's what he said. So Romney, as you well know, went down in flames while Trump is rising every day of the week, because he's saying what most Americans want to hear. They want to talk about it. We're talking about discriminating as to who we bring into the country, if you want to bring anyone in at all. I'm very clear. In Government Zero, the most important book you could possibly buy for this season, point three is no immigration for 7 years. No immigration. It's not this picking on anyone. Zero from anywhere till we sort out who's here? Okay, so we've covered that one. Now let's go to the callers. John on line 9 on WBAP in Dallas. Nice to hear from you. What's on your mind, John?
Yes, you haven't meditated on the Torah long enough to understand about what you're saying. Okay, because those...
Okay, Rabbi. Rabbi, I'm humiliated by you. I feel humiliated by your genius. So what does Leviticus say that I can't read in plain English?
advised you the wrong people. The wrong people have advised you. I'm a Karaite Jew. Okay.
I don't care if you're an M&M Jew. It doesn't matter to me. I have the Bible in my hand in English. So now you're going to tell me that this translation is wrong? The Masoretic text is wrong?
No, it doesn't say that. That is for in the land of Israel. Okay? And actually...
Okay. Wait, sir, what is in the land of Israel?
The laws of Moses pertain to the people in the land of Israel. And
so where are we disagreeing? I'm saying most modern Jews, even Orthodox Jews, don't practice Leviticus literally. So where are we disagreeing?
We're not in the land, and Moses told us that we would be kicked out.
Again, you're not hearing a word I'm saying. You came on the show in order to show what a great rabbinical scholar you are, but we're saying the same thing in different ways, aren't we?
No, we're not. Because we're
because you're a rabbi, you wear the holy moly outfit, so therefore you have to be superior to everybody.
You are doing what got us kicked out in the first place, not keeping the law. Okay, you say you support Israel, and what you're advocating would get us never back into the land. Never. Because
I missed that. Sorry, your phone is breaking up. What am I advocating?
You're advocating that we should not keep the law anymore. Okay, look.
Well, sir, hold on. I never said that. I said that if you practiced the laws as laid down in Leviticus, you'd have to kill most people around you. That's what I said.
I know you think that Genesis is a poem and all this and that. Okay.
Sir, would you please speak a little more succinctly? What did you just say? I couldn't hear you. Sorry.
I've heard you say before that Genesis is a poem. You don't believe it for a second.
Well, let's focus on Leviticus. Let's focus on Leviticus. If a man lie with mankind as with womankind, both of them have committed abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Is that not in plain English?
Yes, and it's absolutely the way that it latches, okay?
And so I told you that that's something that Jews don't practice. Isn't that what we are agreeing?
Right, but we don't have to write until we're back in our land to impose.
I don't know why I can't hear him either. His phone is no good. I don't know what you just said. I just said we don't practice, modern Jews, Orthodox or not, may read that, but they don't practice it. Isn't that what we're both saying?
That's because we have not returned. Our kingdom is not here.
Our bad phone connection. Sir, try to buy one separate from a Manischewitz matzah box. I'm joking. It's embarrassing when you hear a guy like this says, I'm telling him not to practice the laws of the Bible. I didn't say that. I never said it. My point is the exact opposite. But the religious zealots, to put it in a plain English, religious zealots don't like anybody talking about the Bible except themselves. And this is part and parcel of the whole problem with religion from my point of view. It's a hierarchy established in order to bamboozle the ignorant masses, very much like politics as practiced in America today. Let's go to Christianity. Weren't the masses held in Latin? Why were they held in Latin? Because the average European didn't even understand Latin. So only the priests could go the mumbo-jumbo in Latin. And people, wow, man, listen to that. They're talking to God in that special God language called Latin. The average person was bamboozled by it and was awed by the priest. That was to keep the people in check. So now you go to Judaism. Again, it's in Hebrew. Most Jews don't even understand Hebrew. It's a foreign language to them. And they think that because a man can chant in Hebrew, he's smarter than them. He may or may not be smarter. He can also be dumb as a doorpost. And he could just be repeating what he was taught in a foreign language, which makes him sound more intelligent. Again, he may be a brilliant man, he may not be. But just because he can chant in Hebrew does not make him smarter than you inherently. So we have to now look into the religion itself, any religion. And if you kindly hear what I'm saying, you may actually agree with me, even though you want to hate me and disagree with me. My point is exactly what the man was saying in a certain way. I'm saying modern Jews may read Leviticus in the Bible, one of the books of Moses, but they don't practice what the Bible says literally. Unfortunately, there are too many Muslims on the planet who read the Quran and practice it literally. And so they throw homosexuals off buildings and they stone adulteresses. Do you understand what I'm saying now? I doubt it. Because again, people don't want to understand what I'm saying right now. And that's the problem. People's minds are made up. It's not easy being intelligent or literate. Believe me, it's very difficult. It's easier to be stupid and to just make no sense out of anything and just say Democrat bad, Republican worse, and I'm better than everybody and this and that. I'm trying to elevate the discussion here. And I'm not getting anywhere. I have a feeling I'm not getting anywhere. So maybe we shouldn't even talk about it anymore. Maybe this was too biological, too genetical. Maybe it was too intelligent for talk radio. It's possible. It could be. It's just way beyond the scope of the average talk radio listener who wants to hear the same thing every day, day in and day out. Nothing different. Two tracks only. Well, okay, so that's that. So I did this. Now we have some sound I haven't played yet, but I don't know if I'm in the mood for the Hillary sound. Let's take some callers instead. KKOH, Reno, Nevada. Daryl, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. You were talking about being inbred. I'm a product of that on my German side. I have a condition called HHT, that's hereditary hemorrhagic telangiectasia. When I bleed from my nose or internal, I can go through, say, a 44-ounce McDonald's cup, and I can fill that up completely, empty it.
That's terrible. Now, wait a minute. You're saying this condition that you suffer from is a result of what?
Being inbred on my German side.
What, they married first cousins?
Yes, somewhere in our past history, we were some sort of royalty, and they wanted to keep the bloodline pure.
Stop it. Now, so you're able to laugh at your own condition and your own breeding, is what you're saying. You've learned to actually laugh at it yourself.
I'll be in a restaurant or someplace, just take a bite of food, and I'll get a bad nosebleed, and people come around, oh, my God, you want me to call 911?
Oh, I'm sorry to hear it. That's a tough thing to live with. But I think the point of the call is that you're saying inbreeding definitely produced it, and you're recommending that my suggestion be passed, which is that marriage amongst first cousins be banned in all states. Isn't that what you're saying?
Correct.
That's all. End the story. You win the prize. Ring the bell. Government zero to you. They're burying them now in the bookstores. I need my Savage Army to get revitalized again before Christmas. It's only the 9th of December. I'm getting reports from the bookstores that they're putting them under feminine hygiene, under animal husbandry. If you go to look for Government Zero, you'll find it now under animal husbandry, female hygiene, things like that. You have to get it back where it belongs, in the front of the store, and try to understand the discrimination that's going on against me is overwhelming. I have no support anywhere except amongst my own audience. And the message is what is important. I'm not trying to buy a new car. I have too many cars. I don't need a new house. I'm happy in the cottage in which I live. I'm telling you that the ideas are what matter. That's why I'm talking about Government Zero. And Daryl from KKOH in Reno, thanks for calling. It's terrible that you are suffering from that illness as a result of inbreeding. Mike on KSFO Radio in my hometown of Sitco. Welcome to the show, Mike. What's on your mind?
Yes, I was just talking. You were correct in the in placing the time of the law and leaving it there. In other words, those were the laws of the day. But in Islam, those laws continue. In other words, they're an eternal law. They keep going on, and they're relevant in today's world.
Well, are they relevant? You mean it's relevant to kill homosexuals?
Well, that's what they believe. I mean,
all right, okay. I just wanted to clarify what you're saying. So my point is that while the Jews have the same laws, by and large, modern Jews do not do such abominable things as were done in biblical days, while unfortunately too many Muslims interpret the Quran literally. That's the problem we're facing. That's why you see lunatics running around with knives in London saying, kill the infidel, cut the hand off, and do such things. As well as in this country. Why did those two pieces of garbage do that in San Bernardino just last week? Why did those low-life subhumans do that? Why did they execute all of those innocent, nice people? Because their book, their holy book, told them to do it. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
I mean, let's stop mincing words here. We're talking around the subject. Where did they get the idea that they had the right and the obligation to go and machine gun innocent people at a Christmas party? Where'd they get it from? A Cracker Jack box? It is said that they were reading the Quran literally. He memorized it over and over again. He brainwashed himself. She brainwashed herself. It didn't come out of thin air. That is what we are talking about. That is what we are talking about. And my main point is that this idea of the sufficiency of a single book disappeared from Islam by the 9th century. And yet you have Muslims who are practicing a 7th century form of Islam right now. ISIS proposes a 7th century view of Islam. Muslims who practice a literal interpretation of the Quran are practicing a 7th century view of Islam. And I told you that by the 9th century, this idea, these ideas were already dropped by Muslims around the world. This virulent hatred has only been reignited rather recently. It is not something that the world has faced for hundreds of years. Do you understand that? Islam has gone backwards, not forwards. And it's all a result of a sect of Islam coming out of Saudi Arabia known as Wahhabism. And you have to research that on your own to understand why this is happening now. And maybe there's hope that eventually the modern Muslims in America and in Europe who have had enough exposure to freedom will not want to be dragged back into the 7th century by their, let's say, the people that they know who are trying to pull them there. Maybe in the long run, the women will be the saviors of the world because they will refuse to be treated lower than cattle. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600. Many of you are very perplexed because of the state of society, and rightly so. Moreover, many of you know that the world is a much more unsafe place than it was before this charlatan inveigled his way into the White House with a little help from his friends in the media. But it got worse today, and I was saving this for the end of the show. Here is a day that should live in infamy. This man has no bounds to his hatred for the healing of the races. This man lives on hatred and division. This man has a name. His name is President Barack Obama. So today, instead of celebrating and trying to bring races and religions together, this divisive, evil man chooses this day to talk about slavery as though it still exists in clip number 16.
And that's what we celebrate today. The long arc of progress. Progress that is never assured, never guaranteed, but always possible. Always there to be earned, no matter how stuck we might seem sometimes, no matter how divided or despairing we may appear, no matter what ugliness may bubble up, progress, so long as we're willing to push for it, so long as we're willing to reach for each other. We would do a disservice to those warriors of justice, Tubman and Douglas and Lincoln and King, were we to deny that the scars of our nation's original sin are still with us today.
I would say this is the lowest moment in his presidential career amongst many low moments. This evil, divisive man, this hateful, evil, divisive man, chooses a day like today, after a slaughter like we saw last week, to attack America again for a slavery that no longer exists and has not existed for over 100 and some odd years. Again, trying to stir up one race against the other. Again, trying to make people uncomfortable for being in their own skin. Once again, he hit a new low. The man doesn't have any other capacity. Look how far he's gotten on hatred. Now, you talk about demagoguery? You talk about driving a wedge between people? Look what they said about Trump for a few things he said about what kind of immigrants we should and should not have here. Every one of them kept saying the same thing, is that we're driving Muslims into the hands of jihadists, that we need to cooperate with Muslims in order to get them on our side. Jed Johnson, the man who let this happen by failing us, says that it's hurting us in our efforts at Homeland Security because we have to work with the Muslim community, not drive them away, not vilify them, not drive them into the shadows. And yet, the number one guy, Barack Hussein Obama, has the nerve to try to make white people feel as though they're still trying to enact slavery, to try and make black people, young black people in particular, believe that slavery could ever happen again in this country. Now, why doesn't Obama recognize that in order to heal the nation, he has to reach out to his political opponents? Why doesn't he understand what he's doing is the most un-American thing that could possibly be done, that is actually hurting our efforts of unification, and that he is not working with the people of color community, that he is driving away the white people, that he is vilifying white people, that he is driving white people into the shadows? That's what he's doing. That's all he can do, because that's who he is. He is the Scorpion.